was all a dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 500. They said it couldn't be done.
I gotta say, for such an auspicious occasion, yeah, that was kind of a low key.
Well, I mean, I'm just stunned we made
it. Welcome to number 500.
Well, I'll add more music, and you know,
okay.
No, I won't.
Trumpets and
that would take. I don't know if I told you guys when this was acting up, when I was having trouble where the recorder was low. I started looking online to get a new one and replacing. I mean, because this has been through 500
episodes. Yeah.
And some of them had little sound effects things. I'm like, oh, I could see that. Pat says something. Yeah, exactly. Do 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 do. You know, been...
we each get a soundboard.
Yeah.
Luckily, I was. Hopefully, I was able to save it. So.
Well, if you think about it, that's been through more than 500 episodes.
True.
Because how many episodes
True.
Have you lost or didn't get? You know.
Well, and then Adam and I did a lot of red chairs on Saturdays where nobody was here and. We were just sitting and BSing. So, yes, over 500 on the recorder. So, I got to say, the buck and a quarter I paid for it has been well
yeah,
worth
you,
it.
Yeah, you paid.
I got my money's worth out of that. So, we will have a special guest shortly. So, I figured we'd get our BS and stuff out of the way first. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Spencer.
Pat.
Dave.
Mike, basically, Pat offended him, and he said he's never coming back. So, oh well.
As you can see, I am weeping.
You are. It's a shame.
He's just, with his advanced age, he's still recovering from last week's concert.
Oh,
there.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I did not think about that at all. But, no, he had work to do. Whatever.
But you know what's great, though, about being his age and going to a concert? You don't get the ringing in your ears anymore.
Because
your
it's already there. Yeah. Yeah. Or it doesn't work. Yeah. Yeah.
You just turn down the hearing aids a little
exactly.
bit.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't think about that. Okay. But news-wise, I couldn't come up with anything. Not much going on in the world. You know, we already know that they're killing the Justice League. And Marvel
It'll stick this time, right?
Marvel is doing all sorts of things. But yeah, I didn't see anything particularly notable.
I saw for like the fifth time ever, they announced a Voltron movie that's never going to come out, and that's going to be hilarious. It'll probably come out the same weekend as that He-Man movie that's never going to come out.
Well, so that's what we got. We did get one question.
Oh, man.
So. Zach says congrats on the 500 question. Is the Daredevil number one relaunch by Zdarsky gone from the solicits? Remember, it was a thing post Devil's Reign, but I wonder what the status is now that Zdarsky was named the new Batman writer like a month ago. Well, I don't know, because it has been fun thing is trying to search on the Penguin Random House site is not fun. Unless I need to read the instruction manual, because if you put in Daredevil in number one, you get a whole lot of stuff and not really what you're looking for. That makes me miss the diamond search very much so.
You can't leave the manual in the car when you take the suit. You've never seen The Greatest American Hero?
Long time.
Thanks, Dave.
My guess is that they pulled it. And are trying to find a new writer and a new direction since they don't want Chip doing Daredevil and Batman, is my only guess. Or Chip said he can't do both and he'd rather focus on Batman without actually saying, you know.
Maybe things changed, but I thought I saw him tweet that he was going to do both.
Okay. Because
he was throwing it in Bendis's face.
Oh.
Because Bendis wanted to do that Batman
right.
Daredevil
yeah.
team up that... caused a lot of problems.
We did just... He had a new newsletter come out today, but I did not have a chance to look at it. So, we will look at that. But I honestly don't know. It just kind of... It's got scrubbed from everywhere that I look. So, I don't know if they're waiting to announce it or if changes are happening. We will find out shortly enough.
Well, the previews came out today, but I didn't see the Marvel insert.
Yeah, because next week. Because you can't coordinate these things, Pat. We also don't have the DC one until next week. Which, to be fair to Marvel and DC, is it, next week's the last week of the month. This is kind of a weird week to get previews anyway.
Okay.
It is the 23rd, next week the 30th.
Now, so. are you supposed to get both of them tomorrow?
They're on my... Next week, I mean? Yeah, they're on my shipping list. Which is weird, because Diamond sends us our invoice... We get shipping lists from Lunar and Penguin. Tomorrow at some point I'll get my actual invoice, which isn't funny because it also normally comes after I already have the books. I did notice sometimes my shipping list does not match my invoice. And when I upload that information online and then stuff doesn't come, it's a little bit of a, oh, crap. That happened with that Joker puzzle box. I remember that slipped a week. And then Penguin... Sadly, we don't get our invoices till Monday, so I just post the what's supposed to be coming. So I'm going to go ahead and start with our guest. So might as well talk at him.
He might as well have somebody to talk to.
I will start the meeting.
I mean, I know he listens to us all the time, so he's like, right, crap that we're complete jackasses.
He pretty much knows that. Okay. Yeah.
We're not going to like. Cut him a lot of. I mean, he's new, so you know we're not going to just destroy him. But you know, I can't promise we're going to be gentle.
Oh, he's connecting. Dun dun dun. Dun dun dun. He'll be here shortly. It's not. Yeah, it's not going to be a real big surprise who it is.
All the way from the Bible, it's Jesus himself. Actually, that'd be pretty awesome. All the way from the Bible and Second
cannot
Coming.
Hear, oh, can, he's connecting and cannot. Oh, there we go.
Hello?
Hello!
Is it working?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear us?
I can hear you, at least.
Okay, well, we're good then.
You don't want to hear the rest of us anyway.
Yeah.
This is so weird. I'm used to hearing you all on the podcast. So I'm going to, you know, if I'm quiet, it's because I think I'm listening to a recorded episode.
You're a participant this time, Lord Retail. Oh, now I gave it away.
Yeah, now you gave it away. Nice job.
But I don't know if I said it on the podcast. I think I told you before, but Lord Retail had a part in creating this podcast, even though he didn't know it. But a mutual customer of ours, Sean Wheatley, who lived in Greensboro for a bit with work and then came up here, we were sitting around early on when I changed the name back in 2010. I had sent out part of the email was, hey, any recommendations, things I can do better, stuff like that, now that I wasn't under the umbrella of New Dimension. And one customer said, can you stay open till 8 on Wednesdays? Because I can't get there by 7. I'm like, cool. Okay. Yeah, I can do that. That's no problem. So one Wednesday, Sean and I were sitting here and nary a soul came in between 7 and 8. And this is when we still had the red chairs on the other side. And we just talked for an hour and he was asking business related questions. And I was, you know, just answering him and everything. And at the end he went, wow, that would have been a really great podcast. I did a couple, you know, Acme did podcasts and I did a couple of them with them. And I'm like, oh, and I talked to a friend and he got me the recorder and got me all set up on iTunes and everything. And here we are 500 later, so you were indirectly responsible for this.
Get out of town.
Nope.
Get
out. So it's his fault.
Yeah, well, it's indirectly.
Now the world knows who to blame.
Yes, yes.
I live one of those very serendipitous lives where, you know, to me, it was, how's it go? To you, it was this formative moment where the direction of your business changed and you were able to form this group that stuck together this whole time. For me, it was Thursday.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Yeah, we never knew when to do it. It just made sense Wednesday because everybody was already here. My problem with doing it Wednesday is I'm tired. by the end of Wednesday, I just want to lay down. I have two dogs sleeping next to me on the sofa right now, and I feel their pain.
Are we recording right now?
We are recording. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yes, you jumped in mid-podcast.
Sorry.
Yes.
Do I need to introduce myself?
You go ahead. Go for it.
My name is Jermaine Exum of Acme Comics here in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Are you the owner of Acme Comics, Jermaine?
I am. And it's, you know, after working here for 25 years of saying, I just work here, I just manage the place, et cetera, et cetera. The fact that I'm able to give a different answer, it takes me time to do that. It just does.
Because now it's all your fault. You can't blame anybody else.
Oh, it's always been my fault. Make no mistake. It's always been my fault. But, yeah, I can actually give a different answer now, which is still new to me. But, yeah, coming to you from new release day. It's been a very active and long Wednesday today. I don't know if it works this way for you, but there are a few customers I saw more than once today, which caused me to think it's been a different day.
I have several that will come in and then they'll see something online and realize they didn't get that and come back.
Yeah.
Not flippers, I hope.
No.
Okay, real customers.
Yeah, real customers, yes.
We don't, for the volume of people that we deal with, we don't have as many flippers because it's not speculation. If a person knows that they can buy a thing for $4 and resell it for $9 plus shipping, there's no speculation involved. They know that. We don't have, it exists, it absolutely exists, but we don't have as much of it as what I hear you all having there.
Yeah, that's good for you. It's frustrating for me, but...
Colin's too nice. He doesn't know how to tell people to pound salt.
Yeah. Well, the big thing we're finding now, Pat's finding, is he's going to restock sections and finding books moved. Like...
They're hiding them to come
They're hiding or they're hiding multiple copies of things so their friends can come in and buy and things like that.
Do you think it's simply just, you know, like in the grocery store where reasonable people... We'll put things back where they got them if they don't want to get them. And unreasonable people just stick things wherever. You think that's what it is?
No, I'm saying this is like in the back issue boxes. Like we'll find new comics shoved into the back issue boxes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
I think I need to move to Greensboro because it seems like such a cute little world compared to here. Where people are scumbags and constantly do the wrong thing.
It's both.
There are things that we get that perhaps you don't get. But
that's true. You know, it's funny. I was looking it up. I didn't realize that Greensboro is basically the same size as Pittsburgh, population-wise. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that when people think of Greensboro, they expect to see...
Mayberry.
At least a couple barns. That's not really what it is. So, we're not the same as Raleigh or Charlotte, but... You know, we're similar aesthetically as far as, well, no, that's not really what it is either. But we're not farm country. That's not what Greensboro is.
Yeah, I just thought it was more small town. I didn't realize just how big it was.
Yeah.
So you just need to dominate. Come on, take over the whole town. You got it.
Who's to say I haven't quietly done that?
There
quietly.
You go. Well, I just found out today that one store near me is likely closing because the owner is sick. And another one, well, neither of them are near me, but they're in the general area. And another one was a hybrid comic and game store and has decided to get rid of their comics and just do games. So it's like, well, I don't want to say it's good for me, but that's good for me. So
I can't believe, though, because there's a few game stores around here, I can't believe there's that much of a market. I mean, because you've made a couple goes at it and it never really...
No. I didn't have the passion for it, though.
Okay.
So, and
you have to know games and be involved in the games in order to, in my opinion.
Yeah.
To
I carried them because I thought that's what I was supposed to do, but I didn't know it, didn't love it, and after a while, it just got to be more of a headache, and I realized I'd rather not do it. Kind of like doing conventions. I'd rather pay someone so that I didn't have to do that.
Yeah. Well, and you, at least with the cards, you got pulled over a barrel a couple times.
Yeah,
because there's always like the wrong thing and you don't know that it's the wrong item.
My thing was, one time I was allocated a certain amount that I did of something that I didn't want at all, and they sent me my allocated amount, and it was like $1,500 worth of product. I'm like, I don't want this. Well, it's what you were allocated. I'm like, no. I, you know, fighting with that, and it just got ugly, and I'm like, you know what, I think I'm done. And I've been happy ever since. When the people come in looking for stuff.
Hold on. Don't lie to the people out there. You've been happy ever since then?
About that decision. Okay. Not about everything. Come on.
Not quite happy, but...
Got to read the fine print.
Yeah.
Well, and then like a lot of those stores, they I think they thrive on like the magic and stuff. And yeah. That's a whole nether thing to dive into. Like that has like generations and generations of cards and stuff.
And some of those people are a unique breed. So.
Yeah, I can remember a couple times like going to comic book shops that had gaming going on, and like with my wife or my sister-in-law, and it's a weird feeling. And like, you know, I've been going to comic book stores fine, whatever, but you know, my wife gets creeped out. I'm like, yeah, I'll.
I always hated when there was this one store that I was going to in Chicago, and like the new release was in the back. It was one of those standard, real long, deep rectangles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the new comics were all the way in the back, and on, you know, like you go on a Saturday and you're stepping over kids to get, and you just felt like you shouldn't be there. And I'm like, I never wanted to anybody to ever have that feeling here that they don't, you know, don't belong or shouldn't be here. So that's why we only did it after I closed on Friday. And then it's like, oh, I'm sitting here till midnight and I'm cleaning and doing all sorts of things. And I'm like, this is not worth it.
And yet you have book club.
Yeah.
That's
it feels a little bit like that sometimes.
Oh, come on. Book club is fun.
It is. But sometimes as you guys are BSing, it's like, I want to go home.
Yeah. Sometimes people don't realize when they're there for special events that you've been there for 8, 9, 10 hours already.
And this is, it's all, and picking the last Friday of the month was easy to remember, but it also ties in with, I'm here late Wednesday. Last Friday of the month normally ties in with previews order, which means I'm going to be up late Wednesday, Thursday, and then being late Friday, it's like, ugh.
So flip it. Just hold, do 5 weeks this time and do it the first weekend on, or the first Friday in May.
Yeah, well,
can't do it the first Friday in May because
Day. Yeah. And that every year, that was a magic release.
Okay.
That Friday. And so I'd have to wait for the kids to finish doing magic and before then getting set up for Free Comic Book Day.
I can remember a couple of them years where I'd show up in the morning and you're already in a bad mood.
Oh, yeah, because I'd left here at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So next week, our book club graphic novel book that we'll be doing is Avengers Forever.
And okay, the 12 issue, yeah. I panicked and looked at the shelf, and not all robots had come out that week, and I went, oh, let's do it. Yeah, it's a Mark Russell book. That'll be, what, is that our third Mark Russell? Yeah, that's our third Mark Russell book.
Well, so. No, second.
Third. We did Snagglepuss. We did Second Coming.
We never,
didn't do Second Coming because
we read Second Coming. Yeah. Yeah, we were supposed to do that the for March.
Yeah,
March 2020. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Wow. You are a very pro Mark Russell store.
Yes.
And I have not really connected, shall we say,
okay,
with anything Russell until One Star Squadron. That one, I really, really enjoyed.
It's pretty much like all of his other stuff. Not that it's the same, but it has the same feel. For me, it was Prez. Reading that first issue of Prez just blew me away.
Have you read My Bad?
I started that one, but I'm we're a very pro Bendis store. We always have been. Whereas you guys are more critical. So if I am allowed to be critical of Mark Russell, there are many moments where I feel like he's very pleased with himself, where he's like, this is awesome. This thing that I just wrote, this is so good. They're going to love it. And
that's
I can just tell.
Yeah,
that's fair.
And if I'm not up for that, if I'm not equally like pleased with him, then it just lands. It doesn't land with me. But One Star Squadron, those moments, they all landed.
Bendis, if he can have five people talking at the exact same time in the exact same speech pattern, he's like, yes. No.
That's part of his brand.
It
absolutely
is.
I still don't know how anybody could read the Lionel Richie thing and not think that's brilliant.
Does anybody have any questions for me about anything while you've got access to me?
Ooh.
Not that I'm anybody.
we don't access.
We don't get to talk about anything, so I'm right here. So.
I wish I'd thought of something.
Yeah, I know. Way to go, Colin.
I don't know. I had not planned this out well like I normally do.
Yeah.
Normally I have the whole podcast scripted. Yeah.
like, I assume that everyone has watched the My Comic Shop Country documentary that Acme Comics was part of. I assume everybody's seen that, right?
No.
I didn't know it existed.
I listened to it.
Colin, you don't talk to your guys. You don't talk to your guys. It's a really good documentary. It's on,
come on in,
Curiosity Stream for free, or you can buy it on
oh,
Amazon.
Oh, is it? See, that was the thing. It was like, buy it. I'm like, I don't want to buy this. But... not to be mean. But...
I don't want to support their store.
No, it's not support. It's the Mr. Was it Flat Squirrel?
Yeah, it's
The guy that did the one about the, was it in San Francisco or whatever?
Yeah, he goes to multiple comic book stores that he talked to on his podcast series, and he actually goes to the places, talks to the people there, and really gets into what it's like in the comic shop business as far as, you know, non-returnable product, or why do you do this? It's pretty cool for people that don't really, they may know that comic book stores exist, but don't really know what goes into it. How does it work exactly? Well, what kind of people are keeping the business going?
Well, I will find, yeah, because when it first came out, I'm like, I did listen to it. I thoroughly enjoyed listening to it and the insanity of Steve Odo.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
Well, remember, this is a different thing.
I know.
So, Jermaine, are you anywhere near as bitter as Colin or Steve?
Well, I think you can hear in my voice, not exactly. I'm able to, remember, I've done retail for 25 years. Think about all the things that I've experienced. Like today alone, multiple people came in off the street to ask if we had a napkin or a paper towel. Now, granted, it was raining, but there are many other businesses, including restaurants, that they could have asked there, not us, if we have a paper towel for them.
Yeah.
So, yes, there are things where I could turn. I could definitely turn to the dark side, but...
I'm across the street from a gas station, and I get tons of people pulling in here asking for directions and where stuff is. I'm like, wouldn't you go to the...
It's a head shop now.
Well, it is. I mean, it's a vape shop, yeah, but it just, it always cracks me up. I'm like, yeah, I don't know where I'm going. Let's go into the comic book store to see if they know where this place is. It's like, I'm next to a bank.
You're an incredible guy. Yeah. They think you know all the stuff. You hear all the things.
Okay, maybe Century Sports. I'm not walking into that jewelry store, one, because the guy's a jerk-off, but also because that's not a place you go to ask for directions.
Right, no, I get it.
You're not walking into a bank and start asking questions. That never ends well. CVS.
Yeah, the gun store.
Yeah, the gun store. Well, no, that's not there anymore.
Is it? I wasn't sure.
Oh, their sign's taken down.
Oh, the sign was up, but they're...
it's like inside out and backwards, so I think they
sold all their guns.
Mm. Yeah, it's not like they're making more.
But yeah, just always cry when there's a gas station literally across the street.
I don't think I would ask them for directions on how to get out of their own parking lot.
Well, that's you. But obviously the person's lost yet. Yeah.
Fair enough. But I mean, I've gone in there a couple times and I've never had a pleasant experience.
Okay. I don't know.
So I don't know if...
So do you have napkins?
I don't know if Colin ever tells you guys that from time to time. After I've listened to an episode, I may have some
critiques.
Notes.
Oh yes, I have. Yeah.
Oh, we'll take notes. We know we're horrible.
Yeah, but yeah, I do enjoy when, and then normally, you know, later in the week, I'll get no such and such story is this, and that character wasn't that, and it's like I don't know.
It was when during the Tom King Batman, where the Cagey Beast hit Nightwing, you know, shot Nightwing in the head.
Yep,
nobody
yep.
knew who Jim
Starlin was. Don't bring that up. Spencer's very upset about that still.
When no one knew who, you know, Jim Starlin and Mike Zeck's Cagey Beast was, I started typing away. And I appreciate Colin being cool about just receiving all this information you had not requested. You're like, don't really care who Cagey Beast is.
No.
You said you don't care who Cagey Beast
is? I don't know who he is. That was not in my wheelhouse.
No, that's fair.
Because it's funny, even when I was collecting back in the early 80s, going to the comic book store and everything, I did not get Batman during those 8 days. That was not, like, I got Man of Steel. I remember getting that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I do not, I never got Batman. I got Justice League and all that stuff. Flash. But yeah, definitely not, I was not a Batman guy.
But yeah, I've read a lot of comics. You know, I was thinking about it the other day, like prior, yes, as a fan, I read a ton of comics. But just as a retailer, on Tuesday nights, I read between, and this is only Tuesday nights, if I don't read on Tuesday, it doesn't get read. I read between 12 and 20 comic books between 9 o'clock, and I like to be finished by 1 a.m. I've got to be finished by 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And if you think about, they're each at least 22 pages. I've been doing that for, let's just say, 15 years to pull that out of the air. It's been longer than doing that.
And then you only talk about the nice ones online.
Yeah, yeah. Because if I don't like a book, I'm not going to tweet about it, which means that some days it looks like I only read three books. So. But, yeah, that's a lot. If you take in the page count, I'm reading a lot of stuff in my life.
See, now my problem is, like, Tuesday I'm reading stuff for tonight, so I'm reading last week's books. So I know that's not right. It's like, my problem is I have to balance, do I read the new stuff to hand sell, or do I read the stuff to talk about tonight, what's more important? And then if I read...
Reading the stuff to hand sell, and then...
Right, but then I'm never going to remember it when we go to talk about it here.
You have this...
I do, but I'm not going to summarize each book. You know,
you don't have to, like, write notes.
But so that's always my quandary. And rarely is there a book... I don't know. I guess I could do a better job. I just need more time. Can we squeeze in an extra day somewhere?
Like, for me, there are people that are asking, like, do I, quote-unquote, need... this Black Label Rogues book. And I'm able to say, if you like The Flash, Josh Williamson, if you like The Flash, you're going to enjoy reading this book.
Right.
Now, would I normally... Is that part of my subscription? No. But I was like, I probably need to see what this is.
See, so where I go...
Who needs to see this?
It's important for me to be able to talk about Aquaman, Green Lantern, Deep Target.
Yes.
So I have fresh on that so I remember what's going on. Or Joy Operations, so I can back Dave up here, and so he's not going it alone. Oh, Mr. Bendis.
How did Godzilla, Power Rangers, and We Have Demons do for you?
I honestly don't know, because my problem is when Tim gets here at noon, I'm not at the counter.
There's no Power Rangers on the shelf, but there's still a couple copies. A
couple of the variant, okay. Yeah.
Of Godzilla Power Rangers or Power Rangers?
No, Godzilla.
No, Godzilla Power Rangers.
Okay. Well, we threw in pretty hard behind that one because that's just the demographics that we've got. I figured it's something that will just sell forever.
See, I can't sell Power...
Novels got them forever.
I sell three copies of Power Rangers and that's it. And I never watched it, so I can't get behind it. And then when I heard... that the first issue of the new series was starting in season three. I'm like, okay, so I came and picked this up and tried to figure it out, and I've just kind of, I don't want to say washed my hands, but I haven't really paid attention to that at all.
I mean, I know season one. I saw the movie in the theater, but a kid yesterday was like, "Where is Dino Force in these books?" And I was like, "I don't know."
Next issue.
They just get that glazed look from me going, I don't know what you're talking about.
Comic books are good.
Is that a Pokemon?
It's like Voltron, but they're not lions, right?
Yeah. So, We Have Demons. That's the Substack book from Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo and Grant through Dark Horse.
I know I have a ton because there were, four covers?
Yeah, there were multiple covers. It's a three-part series. We had no pre-orders in place, which is not really normal.
Yeah.
For Snyder Capullo.
I'm probably close,
But almost everybody picked up one today.
Okay.
Now, some up say, you know, make sure you look at this, see if you want it or not, or did you know it came out today? I have to do a little bit of that, but almost everybody went ahead and checked it out today, and that's a big thing.
Good. Yeah, that's my one downfall on Wednesdays. I don't, I eventually then have to go wander around and go, oh, geez. The one benefit of having the new tags is I can go look and go, oh, I'm out of this. I'm out of that. Some stuff I probably ran out of, but I had so much in damages this week, which was...
Yeah, the Marvel Comics paper quality legitimately feel bad. Like, I was depressed holding the Marvel comics this week.
I saw something online today on one of the retailer groups talking about how they all that stuff was coming from one printer that's known for being cheap. And it was all mostly secondary books other than Iron Man. And I saw, yeah, and some, oh, I think it was your nemesis had called Gabriel, David Gabriel, the head of sales, our only contact at Marvel. And he said that this, they knew about this and changes are being made, but next week some of the books are still going to be this way. I'm like, part
we
of me also.
Have a ton of damages like you did. We were very lucky that, you know, we didn't have a lot of damages on that quality of paper. You'd think we would have.
Yeah, it was on Darth Vader for mine. It looked like the printer roller that moves the paper around, like, pushed the cover in on, it was every other copy. I lost half my Darth Vaders that way, and I'm like, it's not even like a corner ding. It was the weirdest thing.
Yeah, I don't know if it didn't have more damages. I truly don't.
Yeah, and then they just felt weird. Like, the funny thing is, because I don't check anything until Tuesday, because I don't want to come in on my day off to check in books. And the way our system works, it populates the website and people's folders online so they can pay for stuff ahead of time. And I get people trying to buy stuff as soon as it's checked in. So it's easier just to wait. But I was reading all this stuff, especially it was the Savage Spider-Man, which was, good number one. And I'm like, wow, they made number two out of actual toilet paper. Cool.
And it sounds like you're exaggerating, but if you know what comic books feel like and you touch one of these books, you instantly know something is just not right.
I equated it with the gift paper in a gift bag. You know, that you get that kind of tissue paper. That's what the books feel like. They're printed on. And it's like, wow. It's like, how, you know, you're the industry leader, and you have the worst quality books out there. And then you pick up a DC book, and it's like, wow, there's a cover, and the paper inside is, like, tangible, almost like a novel-type paper. Mm-hmm. And then you have this Marvel stuff, and it's just like, wow. Not even trying, it seems. Part of me wonders if they were trying to get it past us.
You're going to buy it anyway.
Yeah, are we going to complain, or can they do this? Because they're already not even doing covers anymore. And now,
yeah, it's the same stock,
right? Yeah. Oh, they call it self cover, which somebody today, or I saw one of the retailers realize that meant they actually cut four pages from every book because they count now. Basically, the cover is page one.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Yeah.
The house always wins.
Yep. It's like, you know, the bottom of the peanut butter keeps getting bigger. You know, the punt. Yeah. Craziness. So do you guys have any questions for Lord Retail? I talk to him often.
Is there anything like recent or like past like either characters or storylines that like are like your favorite or like you know, just things that you've always gravitated to since you've been in like the business for so long?
That's a lot to unpack there. I've been reading comics since at least 1983. Now, not everything, of course, but I've been reading comics at least that long.
So what was your favorite 1983? No, I'm
kidding. Yeah. One for each year.
Well, I know I got Transformers number one off the spinner rack, right? But there's an issue of Swamp Thing that was a Saga of Swamp Thing prior to Alan Moore that I had that I forgot about. But it was, like, super creepy and graphic, but I, of course, remembered it, and that was 1983,
yeah,
so...
I was getting that because there was a cartoon. I also had a Swamp Thing action figure, and I stopped before the Alan Moore run started. It's like, that was good. Good job.
It was the issue where there's that whole town that wore Domino masks because they were grotesque without them on. You remember that issue?
No, not offhand, no.
Anyway, highly disturbing, and I never felt the same about Swamp Thing ever again. So, there's so much material out of print right now. There are so many graphic novels.
Well, getting back to that, somebody asked for about a Darth Vader graphic novel, and I looked. I'm like, nope, I can't get you any of them. So, yes, but older stuff, yes.
At this stage, there's so many new people that are like, yes, I want to know what this is. Show me all this world. and the least amount of stuff is available. You know, I remember a period of time where I could start someone with Avengers disassembled graphic novel and take them all the way through Siege and take whatever detours and stops they wanted to do. I could get them this whole multi-year adventure. Can't do that anymore. You can't really start someone on a pathway anymore. There's too many things not available. House of X, Powers of X, not available. What are you supposed to do if you just heard that X-Men was good? What are you supposed to do?
But why? I mean, it's already been printed. It's not like there's additional costs other than just running the book off. Why is that? Why aren't they printing them? I hear Collins all the time.
Well,
paper allocation. I think they have to either print, you know, this new volume of whatever, or they can reprint this other thing. They have to decide, well, we have this much paper, how are we using it?
Okay.
And it's also a stocking issue, sadly, where they don't want to hold a lot of stock, so they have to pick, you know, there's a minimum print run, and can we sell this much quickly? I know there were people at DC who were in charge just of that, who aren't there anymore, and that's why some fun stuff like, gosh, why don't we have a death metal trade yet?
Oh, we forgot to do that.
Did you read death metal?
No, but they forgot. There was nobody in charge, and the intern doing it didn't know that they did a hardcover. They never thought that they should do a paperback.
Okay.
Because all of a sudden it popped up. I'm like, gosh, we haven't had that. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that is at Marvel, too. They don't realize that book isn't there. You know, like, I have so many people coming in that want to get a Spider-Man trade. And it's like, there's really only one, like, classic Spider-Man story. And that's Kraven's Last Hunt. Beyond that, there's a couple, maybe Death of Jean DeWolf, or... But for most of...
Yeah, they're not really...
Since I've been open, there really hasn't been anything that, oh, that's a great Spider-Man story. Maybe like One More Day or something. But even that, they came out in the big, thick collections. Well, gosh, number one's out of print. You know, and it's just maddening that they don't keep that kind of stuff. The Epic collections are $45. You can't... Nobody's just going to go, oh, I'll try this.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we're a $10 trade. You can just hand sell that and go from there.
Right. Or not, you ask me for a Batman book, I can walk you over there and put, you know, 10 different stories in your hand. So that's one totally maddening thing. Marvel did great with doing those yellow X-Men trades with the different stories and stuff, and then they let those go out of print. So.
So our thinking now, you know, our thinking now, it used to be maybe 5 years ago, okay, there's a new X-Men graphic novel coming out. We'll get 6 copies. That'll get us through the week or for 2 weeks. Then we'll reorder more as needed. But now, I have to think, what is our lifetime supply?
Yep.
Do I get 10 copies? That means that 10 people get to buy this book. Should it be 20 copies? So I need to order 30 copies so we have this book. Now, not just anything. It's got to be something that we know how to represent it well. But it's like, what's our lifetime supply? Because the copies aren't going to be there to reorder later. They're not.
Yeah, but the problem is we have so much stuff in so little room. That's really hard.
Well, and when you're dealing with trades, you're also competing directly with Amazon, who can undercut you all the time.
Yeah.
We are very lucky here that, you know, I'm not saying it never happens, where you talk to somebody and they pull out their phone and maybe they just order the thing that you talk to them about at length, and, you know, we're able to explain why it's good, what's awesome about it. Not saying it never happens, but we're very lucky that we're able to sell omnibus editions here, that we're able to sell Epic Collections. We very nearly have subscribers to Epic Collections, very nearly. So we're lucky that people want that stuff, and they seem to want it from us, too.
I have one guy getting Epic Collections, but they have to be mint. Like, not, you know, not a single ding on a card. I'm like, that's not how this works, Chief. You know, if you saw how these came in, and not like not a crushed corner, but even just a slight, you know, anything other than being a crisp corner, it's like,
yeah, that's not how.
But I can't call it damaged. It's not damaged. You know, it's in any way, shape, or form, but just not. I just look at them. I'm just like, good luck. But
well, that's like. Now, like, if I'm flipping through to the previews and I see a trade that I want, I make sure to order it well before. I'll be like, oh, well, I'll just, that trade's coming out. I'll get it whenever, you know what I mean? Now it's like, I want to make sure I let you know that I want it, even though if I can't get it for, like, another couple weeks, but at least it's there waiting for me when I'm able to get it. Since you guys can't, you know, having so much trouble getting, you know.
But I'm pretty sure I did not answer Spencer's question at all.
No.
That's okay.
I do like getting new people started on Lock and Key. I've been trying for years to get Colin to finish Lock and Key.
Volume 1.
I love putting people on Why the Last Man. I like when a person can get a beginning, middle, the end experience. That's pretty cool, and it's, you know, it's obviously rare in superheroes because it's the story must go on. But there's something satisfying about a beginning, a middle, a what's going to happen, are we going to be okay, the end.
I think I look at Vertigo that way. I loved all of Vertigo stuff because it had that. You knew it wasn't going to go 300 issues.
You mean Black Label?
No, Vertigo. Black Label's a mess.
How dare you?
Oh, rare Tim doing a rare chime in.
Congratulations on 500 episodes.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
Have a good night, Tim.
But yeah, it was funny. I just put, I don't know if you remember, I just put on my, we each have a shelf here of our recommendations, and I update mine far too infrequently. Because I realize I look on the shelves, and there's not a ton of trades that I love, where Tim reads a lot more than I do.
Well, you read issue one, and then you...
Right, I don't finish most of the stuff. But I put Screamer up there, and Pat lost his mind. He's like, I remember this! That was an old Pete Milligan, Steve Dillon, Vertigo book, so... That's where I'm going to start doing more of that. Here's this real obscure thing you've never heard of.
I mean, there's so many cool things that spine out. No one will ever know what it is. Yep. But if you can show that cover, it changes everything.
Yep. Yeah, that's the biggest problem with trades. Although, the one benefit of so much stuff going out of print is I'm having a lot more room on my shelves, which is kind of funny. So not that I can do space spine out there, but it's funny as I walk past and see, you know, a 6-inch gap on a bookshelf because just, you know, like somebody was buying a lot of my Transformers or the G.I. Joe stuff from IDW that you just can't get back.
Be aware that, of course, IDW is losing the Hasbro license. It's a licensed property. Someone else, probably Skybound, is going to pick it up. Not
I think they're good. Yeah.
Skybound. But... the majority of the IDW graphic novels are hard out of print, so keep an eye on some of those. As far as even I was shocked that some of those sell 4 times their cover price.
Yeah, I have one fun thing because I have the web store, but I don't ship because the inventory's not correct, and I got really tired of refunding PayPal fees. But I get people asking for stuff, and it's like, oh, and they ask for it, and I, you know, they're like, oh, you know, I tried to buy this, but I couldn't check out, and I look it up on eBay when they ask, and it's like, oh, yeah, it's selling for $160. Yeah, no, you're not buying it for $30. You know, sorry. I had that.
That's a big thing, just to be aware.
Yeah, so we're actually making a special section for the out-of-print trades now. just kind of to say bad things to... the flippers, you know, the people. Because it's like, yeah, you're not trying to buy those 12 trades because you've been dying to read them.
Yeah.
You know.
I really want to know all about Grimlock. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, I got a couple buddies that really need to see how this story is.
Yeah. Yeah. I need volume 8, and that's all I need. I don't need the other. Uh-huh. That's because that's the one that's out of print and nobody can find. But I enjoy that they're all, you know, oh, I just need this. You know, it's for my dying son. And, yeah. Uh-huh.
Sure. But I can talk about new releases if you guys wanted to do that, or I can listen. I'm just working on previews myself, multitasking is one of my skills. But I am able to, if you wanted to do some new release stuff, I'm around for that too.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're going to kick it. We talked about next week's stuff. We don't want to spoil anything that came out this week.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the main reason.
He's listened to this once or twice.
I know. Hang on. I just got to see how much longer I have you. I don't know how... We might have you for like another 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, I'm around as long as I'm around.
Okay. Well, who wants to start? I only read 7. I suck. No.
All right, I'll go.
Pat's going.
Yeah. So Detective Comics.
Yeah.
Was today the last one of that, Jermaine?
Yeah, today should be the last one.
I've not been as plugged in as I wanted to be. I was excited about, you know, Arkham Tower. It's going to be like Die Hard with, like, Batman characters. Mm. But I kind of, it was a lot coming at me quickly, and I kind of disconnected, unfortunately.
Well, what I found disappointing about it was Batman showed up.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a story without Batman.
Yeah.
Like, I was kind of hoping, like, once the dust settled and they solved it, he came in and was just missed it.
Yeah, and instead it's really turning into he's...
gonna save the day.
Yeah, and I just, like, I appreciate he's the one that saved Nightwing when he fell out the window. But outside that, like, you know, have him take him back to the cave or something.
Yeah.
And just keep him off the board. Let it be, you know, the Huntress and Oracle and you know... Harley's really good in this.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think what was most disappointing about the book in general, though, was the House of Gotham thing, because it's been so good.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about it.
Well, this issue felt more disconnected than the other ones.
Like, it jumped a lot. It basically jumped up to present time.
Yes, exactly. Because you went from No Man's Land, or the end of No Man's Land, up to modern Batman with no transition. I assume that, you know, the half-balding guy was the kid throughout the story.
Mm, yeah.
But that doesn't make a whole lot of sense either, in that, if he grew up that, how come he aged and nobody else did? That's the problem. But while he was committing crimes, he wasn't evil. So for Batman to assume that he was protecting the Joker, just, it was a big leap in logic there.
See, I don't know if that guy's him. It seemed like he knew the kid.
Okay.
And, you know, he probably does stuff, like, you know what I mean? It's like, because it seemed like he still does stuff for, like, the neighborhood, kind of.
Okay. That could be it. I could have misread it. But... I mean, Shadow of the Bat, I just got to be honest, it's been better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, definitely.
I thought I was going to dread 12 weeks of it. It had a couple issues where I think it was more fluff.
Yeah.
But it's been a good story. And Psycho Pirate's just a weird character.
Yeah, I don't...
Like, it's not a bad character, but it's...
Well, it's also just weird, too, because Psycho Pirate gets used for all these big, like... crisis-like things, and then to just have him be a buddy with this con man, trying to pull money from this, you know, from the state.
Yeah, the mayor's fund and all. It just seemed like a weird
He was
choice.
The only one who remembered the universe before the first crisis, you know.
Yeah, it's like he can operate at that level, but Psycho Pirate's also just kind of some guy, you know? Never forget that. He's not above doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
how do you think they'll collect this thing? Do you think they'll have two, you know, volume 1, volume 2? Will they strip out House of Gotham into a separate book or have it be nowhere? I wonder how they're going to collect it.
I would think that they would do the backup as its own thing, probably.
I think they should, but I mean, unless you read it in issues, you may not know what it is.
True.
So, I mean, I think it would be a good backup, like a deluxe collection.
Yeah.
It would be a good backup to that. But if you just put out a House of Gotham trade, I don't know how that would sell.
Just a quick side note. How do you think they're going to collect Wolverine? They're going to do an X-Lives trade and an X-Deaths trade, or is it all going to be together?
It needs to be one, you know, at this stage would be how much? Like a $50 soft cover?
Right.
You know what? They're going to have a hardcover, aren't they? They're going to try to...
Yeah, $75 hardcover and then a $50 paperback. And
they're going to try to have this be in the same class as like a Ten of Swords.
Yeah.
It's not.
No.
But it's going to happen.
Yeah. We'll sell a copy. I'll sell two. I have two people, a brother and sister, who get every X-Men trade. So I'll sell two. Maybe three.
It's a lot of trades.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Well, at least you can get rid of them.
Oh, yeah.
And the other one I read was Nightwing.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
It was, it starts off with kind of a cabal of people who hate Dick Grayson sitting around a table talking about how they're going to get rid of him, and they hired the best assassin in the world. And Dick gets a warning message from, was it Maria Zuko?
Yeah, his sister.
His sister, saying, hey, get out now. So he pulls the fire alarm, and like a Reaper drone blows up the building, and Wally West comes and rescues him and takes him back to Central City, so just so he could rest.
Yeah.
He's like, you look bad even for a guy that's been in an explosion.
Yeah.
But it's setting up the arc where now they're going to work together, which I think is going to be some fun.
Yeah.
He
definitely does a good job of, like, the bouncing the two of them off and actually making them seem like friends and stuff like that.
But when did Wally come back to actually being, like, pleasant and happy?
Hey, don't worry about it. Just let him be good. Let him be in good shape. Don't pull on the string.
Well, what...
Okay.
Wally was still kind of like happy. It was Barry there for a while that was always being like in the Williams run. It was Barry that was always kind of being like the jerk and stuff like that.
Yeah, but
in Heroes of Crisis, but that's older than
I think that was the last thing I read with Wally, and it was when he became Dr. Manhattan, and I'm like, he was mopey and he was trying to atone for killing
everybody,
like Arsenal and everybody else. So like, this looks like old school Wally West, where, you know, he's pleasant.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to Earth Zero.
Fair enough.
But I'm enjoying Nightwing, but, you know, the target is Dick Grayson, not Nightwing. They want to, it must eliminate Dick Grayson. It's like, I'm having trouble. How does nobody figure out who these people are? I'm having a little bit of trouble suspending my disbelief. There was something I read where, and I'm sure this happens all the time, where Jason Todd was unmasked talking to Batman like he knows him. And I'm like, somebody's got to put something together here.
The Task Force Z, he's talking to Two-Face, and Two-Face is calling him Jason. I was saying that a couple episodes ago. It seems like they're playing really loose with a lot of the Batman characters' identities.
Is it me, or are Batman and Spider-Man, as far as high-profile characters, they're the last of the secret identities, aren't they?
Yeah, probably.
Superman's out there. Matt Murdock, we've done that. Technically, we've done that, even though it's obscured now. But do you think we'll live to see Batman's identity be known? I don't think we will.
Well, as long as they don't pull, like, a Spider-Man and at the end of Civil War, where they tried to undo time and break comics.
Yeah.
I think there's a story to be had in what if people figured out or know that Clark Kent is also Superman. I don't think there's a story to be had if people know that Bruce Wayne is Batman. There's no good story there. That's not it.
He's going to die in a month, so the question is kind of...
Yeah, because that'll stick.
Well, remember, it's never the death. It is how the characters react and how do we get our characters back. That's what the story is. It's sticking. That's never an option. That's off the table.
Yeah.
They burned me once in the 90s with Superman. I'll never do it again. So, yeah, that's what I read.
Spencer, go.
Batman, Superman, World's Finest.
Yeah, I read that.
This
is probably one of my favorite books of last week. It starts off with Poison Ivy attacking the Daily Planet. He's fighting Poison Ivy, and then Metallo shows up, and so then also Batman and Robin's there to help, and it's Dick Grayson Robin, so it's early in the universe. And then they do, like, a flashback to, like, a couple years even before that, like, when they was first trying to meet, like, somebody was trying to, set in a trap for Batman, and it was Superman went in disguise, and when they tried to, like, take him out, it didn't work because it was Superman. But then, Metallo has, like, this, like, red kryptonite in a syringe, and it injects it, like, straight into, like, Superman's, like, heart. So he starts freaking out, and, that's basically, like, the rest of the issues, like, them trying to deal with that. And they have to...
And they go to the only team that could help with a red kryptonite infected.
Yeah, the Superman. Doom Patrol.
It felt like an old school DC book.
Yeah,
is what it felt.
May have had that feel to it. I thought it was fun. There were some customers that just didn't know the terminology of World's Finest. They would say, "What is this?" I remember I asked back when DC reps were a thing. I asked, why is it called Batman Superman? That's not a good title. This is the World's Finest. And I was told, well, World's Finest, it sounds old, so they didn't want to do that. So the fact that World's Finest is back...
Well, and the last World's Finest was, what, Superwoman and... I don't even remember.
It was Power Girl and or Huntress, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it, like... Yeah. Yeah.
But I thought it was fun. I thought that maybe... There was a little bit too much going on, but overall, it was fun. I'm good with it, and I think it has a place on the shelf as far as Batman and Superman, not just sort of grudgingly tolerating one another, but these people, you know, they know each other, they trust each other.
It's
a book of worlds in play.
It's great to have Mark Waid back. Mark Waid wrote this, writing DC, and that was the point of the story, to show that Superman and Batman have each other's backs.
And now we know why he wasn't at DC.
And then just Dan Mora's art on it, too.
Yeah, Dan Mora did the art, which is great. Fantastic.
You guys are suckers for Dan Mora art ever since Claws.
Klaus.
More people need to know his name. I think that he puts in a lot of work. I think he's able to work quickly. But more people need to know his name.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to get more free time because Once in Future's almost over.
Yeah. Yeah, I did see that the last story arc is ending. They're starting.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of glad, just because I don't know that much English literature.
I mean, 25, 30 issues. That's pretty good. That's a good run.
Yeah.
Chrisman Cage number 4. This is the Macbeth story taking place in the Southern Georgia wrestling circuit, like late 70s, like 80s story. So the wrestler who has sacrificed and killed these people to get his title reign has just found out that he's soon to have to drop the title at this big mega show that they're going to be having in a few months, and he's only had the title for six months, and now, so, you know, he was expecting it to be, a longer reign. So now it's him, scheming and making deals with these, spiritual creatures that kind of set this all in motion and stuff like that. I just like the concept of it, of, taking that old kind of story and putting this kind of twist on it. I've never read Macbeth. I know of the story, but I've never actually read it. But like I said, I just think it's a pretty interesting concept. I think when it comes out in a trade, I think it'd be a good, just a
read all at once.
Yeah, kind of deal. And if you're an old school wrestling fan too, it's they do a lot of the terminology and playing in that world and stuff like that.
See, that's what was tough. I read the first one, and it was okay, but I'm like, there's something missing, and I think it will read better when it all comes out.
And then the last one I'll talk about is Flash.
I read that.
And there's supposed to be a tie-in to the...
yeah, that's why I read it.
And not really.
No.
Tie-in to what?
The War for Earth 3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, it starts off with Johnny Quick showing up at the Flash Museum, and he's there looking for something, and as he's looking for stuff, he's, drawing mustaches on Flash statues and just, messing around with stuff. And then it cuts back to Wally's wife, Lana? I always forget her name. Wally West's
Linda.
Wife. Linda.
Linda Park.
Because when she woke up, Wally, or the kids were gone, so she's running through the neighborhood, and she somehow has super speed as well, and she's trying to call Wally, and then you get this big bolt of like lightning, and Wally's back with the kids and Animal Man's daughter from Gem Ward, and she's not happy at all with Wally, so he runs Animal Man's daughter home real quick so she doesn't have to see how mad she gets and stuff like that. And then, so she's having a hard time trying to figure out when to tell Wally about this new speed that she has. And, so they get as they're talking, he gets an alert, about the break-in at the Flash Museum. So he has, like, a bit of a fight with Johnny Quick. He finds what he's looking for, which is the cosmic treadmill. But while that's going on, Mirror Master comes in through the glass too, because he wants to destroy the cosmic treadmill, right? I think to where Johnny Quick wants to take it for Amanda Waller, so they could, I guess, do the travel into the other Earth. Because this is almost kind of like a prequel, almost. It kind of seems like. He ends up, Johnny Quick ends up getting away, and it kind of just ends with, like, Wally just kind of like, oh, well, that sucks. I better go take a nap now. Because it's, super late and stuff. So I don't know if he's gonna be more involved in the Titans issue, or Titan Academy issue that came out this week. But yeah, this one didn't really, I mean, it was a good issue, but it didn't really tie in with that little mini event that's going on. That was it.
Reckoning War, Trial of the Watcher.
I read that. It was like a what if.
It was, yeah, which was...
Well, so when I read that one, I could tell, because I feel like I know Dan Slott pretty well, I could tell that he'd been sitting on that one ever since he was a kid.
Yeah.
That for a lifetime.
Yeah. Uatu returns to the Watcher home world to warn everyone about the Reckoning, and they have to, disavow them, their vow to not get involved. And the rest of the Watchers don't want to worry about this, and they lock him in prison. And then basically it's a what-if story. What if the Watcher didn't interfere, didn't help the Fantastic Four when Galactus first came to Earth?
Well,
yeah, the Watchers they're so frustrated that I think it's Uatu's father. He's like, look, do you really want to know how it would have gone if you didn't, interfere that one time with Galactus? Do you really want to know?
Yeah.
Because this happened.
And they see that's the whole issue, showing what would have happened had he not interfered.
Yeah.
And basically they saved the day, but the Fantastic Four altered dramatically, but it leads to great future advancements and betterment of Earth.
Yeah,
it cost them dearly, but yeah, they were able to endure Galactus. They were able to end Galactus, and peace and prosperity for humanity across the stars.
And I like how he forced them to Clockwork Orange
style.
That
was a little creepy. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. You feel bad. Like, it's fun to read. Just feel bad because the Watcher was always like, I did a great thing helping them out that one time.
Yeah.
That really needed to occur.
Yeah.
And now he. That may not have been the thing after all.
But yeah, it was basically just like an old school what if.
Yeah, it really was. Whether you're reading Fantastic Four or not, you can pick up that one issue.
Yeah.
And
Other one, I read a trade paperback.
Crazy Man.
Week. I know, that I pre-ordered.
Somebody must have had some free time on their hands.
Archie's.
Oh my God. No, it was the All-Nighter,
Oh, okay. That was the Comixology from Chip.
It's Chip Zdarsky and Jason Liu. It's really good. The all-nighter refers to a diner that's just open at nights because the four people who work there are vampires. And the premise of the book is there are supernatural creatures in the world, but this mysterious governing body does not allow them to reveal themselves, their true selves, to humans. So there's like an older guy and an older woman who work at this diner and two young kids. And one night, Alex, the guy, this younger kid, he's out and he witnesses a robbery, you know, in an alley. And he decides to put on a mask and stop it. And then he thinks, this is a way to get around these rules, is to be a superhero. And I can reveal my true self, but to the world, and nobody knows who I am. So now they're becoming superheroes and supervillains. There's like a boogeyman named Mr. Buttons or Dr. Buttons, who becomes like a supervillain, and it was really good. It kept it open for a sequel in the future, and there's a big revelation about the older guy who works at the diner that I didn't see coming. So yeah, okay. I look forward to some more for this. If
cool.
That's all I got.
That's all you got. Yeah, okay.
This will be quick.
This will be quick. Well, no, now I have 18 to go through. No. Justice League 74, I'm sure Jermaine read that one.
Naomi just kind of...
They're fighting this Lord of Chaos who all the Lords of Order and Lords of Chaos are terrified of, and it's totally slamming everybody.
You remember that's a character from the end of Bendis Superman? I don't know if you remember that. That's where that character showed up.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Fate Carter. So we had seen that character
before. Okay. But so, and it was funny. He brought up the fact that there was a connection between him and Xanadu, because his name is Xanadoth. And they never really explained it. Like, she asked, and all of a sudden he's like, well, I'm not going to tell you now. But nobody could beat him. I did enjoy the Justice League Dark. Constantine had a lot of good lines. But yeah, it basically ended with Naomi just going, oh, and doing something, and he was defeated. And I was like, well, that was lame. Because I am not a Naomi fan, just because I feel she's just kind of there. There's nothing there. She doesn't have a name. She doesn't have a defined power set. She's just kind of... you know, the deus ex machina that he's using to get where he wants to be.
She's a very new character, especially to already be on television when her story isn't yet fully revealed and defined. But, you know, new characters, they have a story arc. They got to get their stuff together.
Yeah. But I don't think she's quite ready to be on the Justice League.
Well, in one more issue, I don't know if we have to worry about that.
Right. Oh, no, we still have four issues of Justice League versus the Legion of Superheroes, where she's Queen Naomi. But, yeah, it was fine, but I'm like, how are they going to be? Oh, they just magically beat this bad guy who couldn't be beaten. Okay, sure.
Yeah, because that's never happened before in comics.
No, it has, but you like, I always like when they have the clever way of resolving it, and this was just basically... here, Naomi, make light come out of your hands, and it's the end. So,
but yeah, it was an abrupt ending, and you know, it was one of those conclusions that's like, yay, Justice League, where everybody runs towards the camera. You know,
yeah.
It's like,
oh, hey, yeah. Yeah.
Had to get it wrapped up because there's other things that new creative team, new initiative, new.
Well, for one issue, yeah.
So get it wrapped up. Turn the lights out on your way. On your way out, you know, clean up all your mess, and there you go.
So, then I also read Batman the Night.
Yeah, I read that.
Which is interesting in the sense this was, like, basically wrapping up the first three-issue arc. And now it's going to continue, I think it's 10 or 12 issues.
Yeah, I think it's 10.
Yeah, and I just found that very odd. It just kind of wrapped up this. He's done with the girl who was training him, or the lady who was training him. They caught the serial killer guy, and now he calls Alfred, and at the end says, I'm not coming home yet. I have more to learn. Very interesting. It's normally they would try to stretch that story out for 10 issues. I think it's neat that he's taking this Bruce learning how to be Batman story, you know, not trying to do a year one, but almost a pre-year one story. But I thought it was done really well.
Well, and so I actually read the first three issues all back to back.
Okay.
I was behind.
So you read a nice little arc.
Yeah, I did. The stuff with him and Alfred I really liked. But Bruce is a colossal dick in this.
Yeah.
Like, he's almost irredeemable to this point. So I'm curious to see, is the Batman we get in issue 10 of the night going to be the Batman we know? Or is this going to be Chip Zdarsky's version where he's just an asshole who happens to also be Batman? Because, like, the stuff where he was grinding up poison ivy to torment a kid, that's why he likes books now, because it teaches him a way to torment people. Like, I don't know that's really the Batman thing. I don't know. It just felt weird. But I do like his relationship with Alfred in really the first and second book more, but it kind of comes out in a third book. Like, I actually feels like that's the first person he feels like he's disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah. But I thought it was good. I commend Chip. It's not just a Batman story. It's something that we haven't seen before. I thought the art was outstanding.
Something I've never been interested in historically is Bruce Wayne putting the whole Batman thing together in an extended capacity. It's like, I don't want to see him traveling the world. I don't want to see him training. Show me Batman stuff. Show me early in costume stuff. I've just never really been interested in the pre-Batman story. That's just me.
That's okay. Yeah. Oh, and then the last one. The X-Lives of Wolverine 5.
Damn. I was hoping it was Monkey Prince.
No, Monkey Prince didn't come out. We gotta wait for number 3.
Oh, we can't wait for number 3.
I don't know if I'm gonna be reading it, though. I might pass that off to somebody else to undertake.
Give you notes.
I've taken the bullet from Aquaman, Green Arrow.
Joy Operations is over. So
yeah, one more of those. Yeah, to talk about. Yeah. So this is the Wolverine has been taken over by Omega Red and stabs Professor X, and finally they reveal, because I didn't know who Mikhail was, and then it's revealed as Mikhail Rasputin.
Did he join the Navy?
No, in So it's the brother of Colossus, and
he's a very 1990s X-Men character. Very 1990s.
Yeah, and then I felt lost through this entire series, to be honest. God, I don't even remember what happens now.
I found myself asking myself, if I were maybe 15 years old and there was a storyline where Omega Red had gone back in time to kill Professor X, Wolverine had to go back in time also and inhabit his, you know, he had to quantum leap the whole thing and try to find and stop Omega Red, who was the evil leaper, and they have to go through different time periods. Would I like this if I was about 15 years old? Maybe. But right now, mm-mm, in the heart of, you know, House of X era X-Men, I couldn't do anything with it.
No. And then the other half, the death of, is spinning out of Inferno with Moira McTaggart, and seems very, very important, where this part seemed nothing. It
should have been two separate stories, right?
Just they didn't join up until the very end for no real reason. Yeah, I'm not a fan of this series.
I'm still with X-Men brand. I trust Jerry Duggan. I'm into Al Ewing, Kieran Gillen returning. I'm up for that. But this was not what I was looking for.
No.
How many X-Men books are there now? Like 20?
Well, there's going to be a lot more. I don't know how many are ending to bring us.
A lot of Excalibur becomes Knights of X.
Right.
Wait. becomes Legion of X a lot, or simply renaming. I think there might be maybe one or two that just outright weren't there before.
I just hope they let us know, like, you know, what's X-Men Red? What's Immortal X-Men? What's, you know?
X-Men Red was Sword. So people read Sword, where you're at.
And then please no more Secret X-Men. I didn't like that one. So that's all I got. Man, you're going to be here for the whole podcast.
Hey, how about that?
Look at you. Okay, next week. Oh, I'm going to start with DC, because DC, this is the week DC took off. But I'm going to read everything DC has coming out. So we have Aquaman number 2.
Colin's favorite.
Where they're even sending us a free cover. So I'm guessing orders were so low. Good one. We have Batman Beyond the White Knight. That's good that we have that coming, the new Sean Murphy book. Then we have Batman FaZe Clan number 1, which is, I guess, the new Fortnite. So I'm giddy over this one.
It's not just Fortnite. It's a group of gamers, real-life gamers, as I understand it. It's way out there. It's actual people.
And they were, like, they and the fans, this was already a free giveaway to them that they then printed for us to sell.
Strange world.
Batman One Dark Knight number 2. This is the jock one, so that's good. We're getting the DC Connect next week, even though we got previews this week. Yay. So that means I will have a ton left over because people won't remember to pick those up. DC versus Vampires, which has been excellent so far. We have the Sensational Wonder Woman special to tie in with International Women's Day. Shadow War Alpha, which is the Batman book that's tying in with Deathstroke, which is awesome because I sell 20 times the number of Batman that I do.
And Robin. It ties in with Robin.
Oh, even better. Yeah, so this is, I'm never going to have the right number on this one. Swamp Thing 11 out of 16 now. And War for Earth 3 2, so that's going to be over. I can't wait to see how whatever else ties in with it.
I think it's just the Titans Academy and then, and that.
When it came in, I had exactly the right number. None for the shelf. I'm like, I'm okay with that. Okay. Oh, no. Where is Marvel? Marvel has a good week. There we go. Marvel, we're getting the last Amazing Spider-Man ever.
Yep.
Until number 1. And then 2, 3, 4, 900... 6, 100 is how I think they're going to number this.
And then, too, because isn't the new series, isn't that going to be multi-week, too?
I honestly don't know.
Okay, I think at least two, I think I've seen in each of the previews, I think I've seen at least two.
I think they do that where we have to order 1 and 2 before we see how 1 sells. I think they do that on purpose. Dark Ages 6, is that the last issue of that?
I think so, yeah.
Hulk Grand Design Monster, number 1. Immortal X-Men, number 1. Now, what's that one spinning out of, Jermaine?
I think that is probably serving as our Uncanny X-Men.
Okay.
If X-Men is our team that's in New York City, then Immortal is what is going on the island, like Quiet Council stuff.
Okay. So, gotcha. Yeah. Okay. We have Marvel preview, so hey, well, the whole gang's going to be together next week. Excellent number 2, which is a personal favorite of mine. And X-Men Unlimited Latitude, which is Hickman and Declan Shalvey doing a Wolverine story. This is one they've done on Marvel Unlimited in chapters, and now they're printing it. From everybody else, we have Animal Castle 4, which is excellent. I highly recommend you get this. We have Astro City. We're getting the Metro book, trade paperback, which I do have the signed book plates for it, with Kurt Busiek, Alex Ross, and was it Brent Sanderson?
Anderson. Anderson.
Time has passed, and that one can't just show up unannounced, basically.
The what? Oh, the signature plates came in like 2 weeks ago.
No, I mean like Astro City. Like I love it, but it's been gone for so long.
Yeah,
that it's an unknown quantity, and word won't reach the fans in any sort of timely fashion.
Yeah,
I just don't know if they can do this one.
Yeah, and then we have Astro City. That was then. This is now. One shot special. Buffy the Vampire Slayer 25th anniversary one shot. A whole bunch of next issues. Sorry. I do this part because of you guys, Jermaine. You guys used to do talking about what comes next week at the end of your podcast, and I went, ooh, that's a really good idea.
Stealing it.
Maybe bring that back. Maybe we'll bring it back.
There you go. We have the Turtles Annual.
Cool.
That's just for you, Spencer.
I like turtles.
And I know you like turtles. That might be. Oh, yeah. And that's it. Nothing else extra. We have the remainder of our We Have Demons foils coming in. Not a big deal. So, good week next week, hopefully, other than DC. But they have some good books, but not volume. Sadly, we got Aquaman, Green Arrow this week.
Your favorite.
Even Jermaine said it's not a great book. You keeping up with it, or did you just read number one?
I just don't understand why is that happening right now.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Well, I know the reason it's happening is because they both hit their 80th anniversary, but they didn't deserve their own series, so somebody mushed them together.
Well, why can't they just get a one, like, you know, like...
Well, they did. Green Arrow did. Well, no, they both got their one shot, but for some reason they decided to do a series. And I'm like, oh, this could be really cool. Give some unknown writer a really neat chance to write a cool story, and wow. He did not hit it out of the park.
7 issues, though.
Oh,
seven.
I know. That's killing me. Slowly draining my soul. That just stinks when I said, this is the worst book I ever read. And then they're like, oh, you have to read the next one. I'm like, no. So thanks, Jermaine, for joining us for spectacular issue 500.
Yes, I would love to anytime. And I'm sure I'll be texting you notes from my own conversation.
I was totally off base on this. I don't know what I was thinking. But
we're going to record a real one later, right?
No, this is it. I get one and done. But if you're looking, he's Lord Retailer on Twitter, which is his fancy name. So, you have to genuflect when you meet him. Yes.
I like Sir Lord Retailer. Oh. He gives it a little extra.
He hasn't been knighted yet.
Oh, okay.
Oh, fair enough. But for us, we have Book Club Friday, which we're doing Not All Robots. Previews orders are due Thursday, so by the time you're hearing this, get your orders in quickly, because I'm probably going to finish this up tonight, and I can make additions, but I don't want to make a ton of additions. Website's PittsburghComics.com, Facebook's Pittsburgh Comics, Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. I still have lots of good plans for that stuff that I don't quite get to, but Jermaine, send us home.
That's the podcast.
There you go. Good job. We'll talk at you next week. See ya.